Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take the sources you send us and really try to get to the heart of what's going on.
And this time, wow, you've sent some really fascinating stuff.
Absolutely. It all seems to point towards this idea that maybe understanding isn't always, black and white, this or that.
Exactly. You pointed us to a blog post by Troy Lowndes, which immediately caught my eye. He compares standard AI analysis, think GPT, with his own spectral binary approach.
Right, and he applies it to the tone of a UK court ruling about the definition of gender. That Reuters article you shared gives the background on the actual ruling itself.
Yeah, the factual basis.
And Lowndes uses this whole thing as a kind of springboard, doesn't he, to talk about listening between the lines.
That's the phrase he uses. It's about more than just the literal meaning. It's the emotional texture underneath.
Okay, and this is where it got really interesting for me. He poses this question, right, with his spectral binary idea. What if the real understanding, the actual truth, isn't on either side of an argument?
But somewhere in the middle, in that sort of nuanced space between the poles.
Exactly. That's the core question he's digging into.
And it's not just abstract philosophy. He actually introduces these frameworks, the spectral binary and the spectral alphabet.
Ah, yes, those documents you sent, spectral binary V0.42.0 and V0.42.1.
Right. They lay out how things like language, emotion, even identity, maybe they aren't fixed boxes.
More like spectrums, continuums.
Precisely. Always in flux, always shifting.
Okay, so let's unpack that spectral alphabet idea a little because it looks like even that evolved. Version 0.42.0 sounds quite poetic.
It is. Lowndes describes it almost like feeling language as sound, as waves, very intuitive.
But then the next version, 0.42.1, it gets much more precise.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
He starts assigning actual decimal values to letters, even punctuation, like A is 0.02, M is 0.62, S is 0.92.
Decimal values for letters. Wow.
And he mentions capital letters aren't just grammatical anymore. They increase the amplitude, the emotional energy.
So it's like moving from feeling the vibe to trying to measure it.
Kind of, yeah. It highlights that tension, doesn't it, between the, let's say, art of expression and the science of reception. How do we capture that subtle stuff?
And Lowndes himself says both approaches have value, right? Because communication isn't just sending a message.
It's how it lands, how it's received and understood. That interaction is key.
That's where the real meaning happens.
Exactly. And to really illustrate this, you highlighted his comparison using AI transcripts.
Right, the split screen idea.
He took the same topics, gender identity, J.K. Rowling's views, cisgender trans experiences, and fed them to two different AI analyses.
One standard logical AI.
And the other using this spectral empathic framework, like an AI trying to read the room, emotionally speaking.
And the difference was pretty stark, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The standard version, it did what you'd expect. Clear summaries, organized points, informative.
Logical, structured.
Yep. But the spectral version, it offered something quite different, a deeper read, maybe.
How so?
We'll take the J.K. Rowling comments. The spectral analysis didn't just summarize her points. It started talking about emotional cords.
Emotional cords.
Yeah, like sensing a protective urgency, or maybe a defensiveness, in her words, an edge beneath the surface concerns.
Interesting. And for cisgender identity.
It didn't just define it, it described it as a kind of frequency,
A frequency.
incorporating things like memory, a sense of belonging
Yeah.
as part of that frequency. It's a totally different way of framing it.
So, same input, same prompt, basically, but radically different meaning just by tuning into the tone differently.
Exactly. It's like the spectral lens allowed the AI to access that emotional subtext, those unspoken layers.
So, when you first looked at these sources, maybe they seem separate, but this spectral binary idea ties them together in this unexpected way.
It provides that lens, yeah, revealing this deeper, more nuanced layer connecting them all.
Which brings us right to the heart of the spectral model itself.
Right. The core idea is that meaning isn't fixed. It's not something you can just pin down definitively.
It's fluid. It changes based on who's listening.
Exactly. Based on their perspective, their emotional state at that moment, their history, it all shapes how something resonates.
He gives some simple examples that really make you think, like the word sure,
Right. It could be enthusiastic
a
agreement.
totally dismissive, icy,
Or, I'm fine. That could be genuine reassurance.
or someone barely holding it together.
And then there's that math equation he uses. 1i1 equals 1.98.
Which isn't about bad math, obviously.
No, it's a metaphor. It's saying that even simple interactions carry this emotional weight, this static, that slightly alters the purely logical outcome.
Nothing is purely one by one equals one. There's always some emotional fuzziness.
Some kind of energy exchange, yeah. It subtly changes the result. It's never just 1.98.
Mm.
It's about the idea that it's not exactly one.
So if we zoom out a bit, why does this matter now?
Well, think about the big issues we're all grappling with. Gender, politics, identity. They're incredibly complex, layered, spectral things.
But society, or maybe just public discourse, often tries to shove them into these simple binary boxes. Either.
And the spectral model offers a different way to look at disagreements. Take the J.K. Rowling comments again about women's spaces.
A binary view might just say, protection or exclusion, pick one.
Right. But the spectral model might say, well, maybe elements of both interpretations hold some truth for different people, or even at the same time. The deeper meaning is in that messy overlap, in the ambiguity.
The stuff that the binary filter tries to erase.
Exactly. It's about acknowledging that multiple viewpoints, multiple emotional realities can coexist.
And that the emotional landscape is just intricate. It's not about finding the single right answer.
Maybe it's more about appreciating all the different frequencies playing out in that space.
And Lowndes isn't just talking theory here. He points to actual tools emerging from this.
Yeah, practical applications, like resonance journals. He suggests they could be really useful for neurodivergent thinkers, creative types.
And spectral AI that tries to read the emotional tone, not just the words.
Imagine the implications of that. For communication, for conflict resolution.
Huge.
Absolutely. And this mathematics of emotion idea, even something like 2 plus 2 equals 4, might have this slight emotional fuzziness.
Like 2 plus 2 equals 4.03.
Yeah, reflecting that lived truth isn't always perfectly crisp math. It acknowledges the human element, the emotional residue in everything.
So that slight shift from 4... that's the human experience bleeding into logic.
That's a great way to put it. It's recognizing that subjective layer we always bring.
I was also really struck by the idea of educational tools to teach kids to read tone.
Even before they fully get phonics, yeah. Imagine teaching emotional literacy that early.
That feels fundamental. A real shift in prioritizing empathy and understanding from the start.
And it underlines his point.
Hmm.
This isn't about replacing traditional language or logic.
It's about adding another layer, enriching it.
Exactly. Adding those vital emotional dimensions that a purely binary view often misses. So Lowndes is basically saying, let's see communication not just as information transfer.
But as sending and receiving emotional signals, too.
Right. And the spectral alphabet, in its different versions, is trying to find ways to, first, intuitively grasp that signal, and second, maybe even measure it.
Okay, so let's circle back to that big question Lowndes started with. What might the answer really be? After going through all this, it doesn't feel like the answer is a fixed point anymore.
Probably not. It seems like it's something that shifts, that resonates differently depending on the context, the listener, the moment.
So the truth isn't a destination.
Maybe it's more like the ongoing process of tuning in to all those different tones and frequencies that are present in any situation, understanding the whole spectrum.
Which leads perfectly into that final thought from Lowndes. It really stuck with me.
The bit about the field of frequencies.
Yeah. He says we don't live in a binary world. We live in a field of frequencies.
Yeah.
And the spectral binary isn't some rigid system.
It's a tuning fork for the soul. I like that phrase.
Me too. So the important question isn't, what side are you on?
But what are you resonating with right now?
So, for everyone listening, as you go about your week, maybe when you hit one of those points of friction, that disagreement,
instead of just picking a side,
try tuning in. What are the different frequencies you can sense? What's happening in that space between the poles? It definitely makes you rethink what understanding really means.